What I'm hoping to do this evening or speak about are really three things. First, to see the link or seek the link of this night with the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Second, to talk about the importance of certain nights for different faith groups and what might be the most important night for us Christians. And the third, I would like to explore that why we call this night Maundy Thursday. Is the name justified? Let's begin then. Jewish faith, you know, that had some seven religious feasts. And the way I read the Old Testament, I see the Messiah in some way present in all those different seven feasts. But perhaps more so in the Passover feast. It is, I guess, for this link between the Passover and the cross of Christ that all the gospel writers specifically mention that it was the time of the Jewish Passover when it happened. But what was the Passover? Obviously, I can't go into the full details, but we perhaps all know that it was truly a freedom or rescue from the slavery in Egypt. And when they were being rescued, God commanded them to slaughter a lamb. And lamb was to be roasted and eaten, but the door sign for the doors of them, the top and the side, if you look at me, that the sides and the top were to be marked with the blood of that lamb. And God to tell that whosoever is in the houses where that sign of the blood on the top and on the side is, that will be safe. But those which are without that, even if there are gold, rubies, whatever on the doors, that will not be spared. And as we read in the story, that when the angel of the destruction came, and whichever house had that sign, the sign of the blood on the top of the door and on the sides of the door, was spared or was passed over. And when we come to the understanding of it, that as soon as they were rescued from the slavery of Egypt, they were on the move or on the road to their promised land. But if you look, their freedom truly was from the physical slavery, but like the rest of us, to be freed from sin and death, a perfect Lamb of God was needed to be slaughtered or killed in its own right time. On that very night, it was not only actually in Jesus Christ that these Old Testament prophecies were being fulfilled, but if you look, that the people who were around Jesus, even in them, the prophecies were being fulfilled. Take just for example, Judas, the man who betrayed Jesus, or I have written here, a friend who betrayed Jesus. What role he played was already foretold in the scriptures. We read in Psalm 41, "Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted the heel against me." And also, if you look in a small prophecy, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 7, says a very similar thing. It seems to me that Judas was actually a very close friend of Jesus, or you can say that the closest friend of Jesus. How? Because what happened on the table? You know that, once again, I can't go through whole details, but when the Jewish people, they ate the Passover meal, they were to drink 4 cups of wine, or 4 glasses of wine. I don't believe that all full glasses, but the meaning is that 4 times they were to lift the cup and drink from it. When it came to the drinking of the second cup, what they call the cup of Agada, explanation, at this stage in the meal, the youngest son of the household would ask a formal question or questions from the head of the household. Why is this night different from all other nights? And obviously that the head of the household will give the detailed answer, after which they will sing the Psalms 113, 114, first part of the what we there call Egyptian Hallel. Next would be that the head will wash the hands, his hands he will wash. Then what will happen, that he will take a piece of the unleavened bread and he will put a piece of lamb on it, and then there will be this, say, a paste ready there known as choreshet, that will dip in this and then will give to the guest of honor on his right hand and then to the rest of the people. And what do we read? What did Jesus do? He dipped it, and who did he give? He gave it to Judas. And that is where I guess that he was one of the closest friend of Jesus. And as it was prophesied, my closest had lifted his heel on me. There are many other things, but I need to jump again to the next point, and that is the importance of different special nights in different faith groups and religions. Having grown up among different faith traditions, I can say with fairly certainty that almost every religion, every faith of the world has got a night that is regarded special or most important for its followers. Take, for example, the Muslims, the second largest faith. The most important night for them is known as Laylatul Qadr, which is in the time of the fasting, last week of the fasting. They spend one night praying in hope that the prayers will be heard. If you ask a Jew, which is the most important night, that is the night of the Passover. I wonder, which night would you regard the most important night of the Christian faith? I guess that many, I'm not the only one, would say that it is actually this night, the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed into the hands of the sinners, that is the most important night in the Christian faith. And I guess it's frequent mention in our communion liturgy point to that fact also, that this must be the most important, because if you excuse me, if you look at our communion liturgy, any liturgy of communion is incomplete without the words on the night he was betrayed. And when you turn to John's Gospel, actually John devoted whole 5 chapters to this one night. So in that, it is no wonder that people many people among the Christian regard this night, Maundy Thursday night, the most important night in Christian faith. But the question now comes when I said that, well, I want to explore why we call it Maundy Thursday. And that is the question, why we call it Maundy Thursday. Because if you look at the liturgy, if you read all the details, that most of the focus of our thinking and call it liturgy or ritual, is either on the betrayal of Jesus or it is on the Holy Communion. But why do we call it Maundy Thursday? Are you with me? Because wouldn't it be a more fitting name to say it, the night of betrayal? Because that is the night he was betrayed. The night he was betrayed. Every communion service we say, why don't we call it the night of betrayal? Or why don't we call it the night of blood sweat? Because that is the night, the only night we read in the Gospels when Jesus' blood, the sweat was the drops of blood. Or why not to celebrate it as Thanksgiving for the Holy Communion? But that Thanksgiving comes on the 20th of June rather than tonight. Why do we call it Maundy Thursday? And could there be something very special for us Christians to learn from the name? The name Maundy comes from, actually it is in Latin from where it comes from. I don't know if I will pronounce it proper because I never studied Latin. It is Mandatum Novum Do Vobis, which is John chapter 13, verse 34 in Greek, entolin kainin, new commandment. So the Maundy comes from that, about the new commandment. And the second part of that commandment is love one another as I love you. So the central point, as far as I'm concerned, yes, all those things are important, but whosoever brought this into a celebration or into the liturgical calendar had something in mind about the new commandment rather than the other things. Not that they are not important. Everything is very important, but that is there. Maundy Thursday comes from that new commandment I give to you, love one another. So if I'm not offending anybody, I'm not at all saying that other things are not important. Even of course, stripping of the altars is perhaps something important, something to learn. But this name, I believe, challenges us Christians to take stocks. Because sometimes we just get so, you know, that carried away by ceremonies, by rituals, by everything else, and we forget that where all these things should lead us to. It was very interesting, excuse me, last night at our last Lent course evening, that we were going to celebrate the communion, and the Baptist minister, he brought also the liturgical book of the Baptist Church. And to the astonishment of us both, we were sitting in the vestry, there hardly any difference whatsoever. He, of course, he's such a generous man. He said, I think Baptists did steal from the Anglicans. And I said that Anglicans probably stole it from the Catholics. That, you know, but yet so much division, forget even about the division, so much hurt, so much pain within the churches. And I wonder if we took on these evenings, this particular evening, once a year the importance of the name Maundy Thursday and came with that open heart and mind. And instead of being too worried that has Becky read properly, has Napo made the sign correctly, to focus that where I personally, and that does not mean just Napo John, each one of us, where do I stand in that? That Jesus said, new commandment I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. And it is obviously my hope and prayer that the Holy Spirit may open our hearts to understand the true meaning of love and sacrifice the way Jesus loved us. Let us pray. O Christ, who washed the feet of his disciples, give us grace to learn from your example. Like you, we may love even those who feel unlovable. May, like you, we seek glory and dignity in true humility. And we may serve without counting the cost, washing the feet of each other. Amen.